Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
I don't know about you, but I'm excited for what God is going to do. If you're a visitor to Hope Rock Church, welcome. It's good to have you at our sort of first 9 a.m. service today. I say that because we don't do this very often. In fact, we don't do this at all. So it's good to have you at 9 a.m. I'm Marco, in case you don't know me, my beautiful wife Kat. She's sitting here in the front. We are elders in this church. We have a beautiful team that supports us, Charlie, Crystal, as well as a bunch of deacons that make this possible. And so I just want to give them honor and glory this morning, because the kingdom is about participation. It's about teamwork. It's about all of us doing something together for the sake of the kingdom. It's not about one man or one personality. It's about our King Jesus. And that's what we celebrate in this local church. Today is a great honor for me. I have the privilege of not only hearing R.T. Kendall speak again. I've just maybe a little bit of a backstory before I invite him up here. And I'm going to get into trouble because I realize now that I haven't done the offerings video. So that'll come, you know, I suppose at some other time. But if you want to give to the Hope Rock Church, there's a box at the back there. You're welcome to give online through the Church Center app. In fact, there's 5 ways to give, right, Tim? 5 ways to give. Anyway, so that's done now. Now let me talk about R.T. Most important for this morning, we have a guest preacher. R.T. is somebody who, if you're part of Hope Rock Church, you will know that I mention all the time. He might not know that, but you definitely do. And someone I honor in terms of teaching, probably had the greatest impact in my life in terms of theology. Someone that I've had the privilege of hearing speak in person when I was back in South Africa in Cornerstone. And something that we reminded each other of last night when he was at Cornerstone the second last time he was there, there was a guy on our eldership team named Lance. And Lance decided to introduce RT that morning, or he was introducing RT, who had come with another preacher, another great teacher, Michael Eaton, who subsequently passed away and gone to be with the Lord. But Lance started to introduce RT Kendall, only to realize that everything he was saying wasn't actually about RT, it was about Michael Eaton. And then he sort of just added the end, oh no, that actually is not RT Kendall, that's Michael Eaton. But anyway, we have RT Kendall with us, so RT, would you come up? Probably the most weirdest introduction I've ever heard, and I don't want to do that again. This morning I want to honor you, RT. Thank you for coming through to this little church here in Austin, Texas. We are so grateful to be able to sit under your teaching. We trust and know that you've brought a word for us in season, and we're just so grateful to have you. So if you would come up and just take it away from here, we'd love to hear you.
Is that the best you can do?
I'll try. You want me to keep going? Let me keep going. Although I don't have that script you wrote for me last night, RT. I've lost the script. I don't know what else to say now.
Should we give him a second chance?
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. RT, no, this is actually, yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Let me tell you. RT said to me, the shorter the introduction, the better. So, ladies and gentlemen, RT Kendall.
Oh. All right. Well, I see you had this very close to where I'm sitting, so I managed to make it here. He thinks I'm old and decrepit, so you sure this is close enough?
Yes, sir.
Pleasure to meet your pastor. He says we've met before. Your presence was so brilliant that I remember nothing. You obviously didn't introduce me to your wife back in South Africa. I wouldn't have forgot her. And, you know, I'm puzzled. Over the last 12 hours, I've been asking, how did you get her? You ugly thing. You married up.
I did.
And I'm glad to meet Charlie, your cheeky assistant. Cheeky. Americans don't know that word, do they?
No.
You want to stand up and tell them what it means?
I'll do it.
Yeah, tell them.
Cheeky means... Sorry, let me switch my microphone. Cheeky means feisty, but more naughty than feisty. Yeah. Naughty as in badly behaved. Sorry, that's a word we use in South Africa, is naughty. Sorry.
And impertinent, that's what
impertinent.
It means. Yeah. So, impertinent comments. Well, TR and I are glad to be here. I think this is my third, maybe fourth time to be in Austin. And I didn't know when we got the invitation if it was another church where I've been before or what. But this is adding to my list of famous churches in Austin. I just want to be a blessing. We're thrilled to be here. TR. I'm RT. It stands for Right Theology. And TR, Totally Reformed. Well, it's been announced that I will speak on a subject. Are you ready for answered prayer? So let me turn now to Luke chapter 1. And it's a word to Zechariah, or about Zechariah, when the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And then one other passage, also from the Gospel of Luke, where Luke chooses the parable of the importunate widow as a way of illustrating the importance of not giving up when you pray for something. And so Luke 18, verse 1, and Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because of this widow that keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not bear me down by her continual coming.' And so the Lord Jesus said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long after them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" May God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this, his most holy and infallible word. Brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. Help me to be clear, simple. May this be edifying and a word that brings great honor and glory to your name. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Question: are you ready for answered prayer? Hands up, those of you who are ready for answered prayer. Okay, now hands down. Do we have any honest people in the house? Anybody who would say, "I'm not ready for answered prayer"? John, was your hand up? Yeah. Well, I may not remember to take a vote at the end of this sermon, but you may wish you didn't raise your hand, but we'll see. We'll see. Let me put it another way. Suppose the angel Gabriel — I would think that's a high honor, because Gabriel is the same angel that ministered to Daniel — and suppose he came into your living room and said, "Your prayer has been heard." What would you think? Would you say, "Oh, I know what that is"? Or you might say, "Oh, what prayer? There's more than one thing that I want." But would you know what it meant? Because there's something you want more than anything, and you really want it right now. If the angel came to me and said that, you know, after breakfast this morning, John Thomas, who I'm honored to have with us today, he knows exactly what's on my mind. So if the angel Gabriel came to me and says, your prayer's been heard, you and I know exactly what I would think it would be. But he came to Zechariah and it said that, your prayer's been heard. And Zechariah said, prayer? What prayer? Oh, well, Gabriel said, you and Elizabeth prayed for a son. Oh, that prayer. Well, that goes back 20, 25 years ago. There's some mistake. You and your wife are going to have a son. Can you think of anything dumber, more stupid, than arguing back with an angel? I would think if the angel said something to me, I'd believe it. But Zechariah said, some mistake. I'm an old man. And have you had a look at my wife lately? She can't have a baby. Well, Gabriel says, all I know is that I've been sent from heaven to tell you your prayer's been heard. You and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You're going to call his name John. It turned out to be John the Baptist. Well, I want us to see two principles today about prayer. Principle number one, any prayer that is prayed in the will of God will be answered. Now, this comes to Zechariah, who was a priest. We don't know how many. There were probably 10,000 priests at the time. Some say 20,000. In any case, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get to burn incense in the temple. This just wasn't passed around. In fact, it was taken by lot. It wasn't favoritism. It wasn't because you knew the high priest and we want to give it to Zechariah. No, he was chosen by lot. And they did it that way, so God did it. And so now it's Zechariah's turn. He's a priest. He's not expecting anything unusual to take place. It's just an honor to get to burn incense in the temple. He brings his family around, and they're outside praying and thinking, I wonder what it's like. Well, here he is burning incense when suddenly the angel Gabriel turns up. And, of course, I think we'd all sympathize. The angel turned up in your living room, you'd be scared to death. The first thing, the angel Gabriel says, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. It's all right. Your prayer has been heard. And Zechariah doesn't have a clue what the angel's talking about. And I wonder if God sent an angel to you and says, your prayer's been heard. Think a minute. Would you know what it is? Now, I happen to have a prayer list, a lot of names on it, a lot of things. And yet, there is one thing I want so much that I would know what it meant. Maybe you would know what it is in your case. Or maybe you'd have to think, well, was it this? I prayed for this. I prayed for that. And so when I ask, are you ready for answered prayer? You may want to reassess whether you'd raise your hand. Because many of us are not. Well, now, the principle. Principle number one. Any prayer that is prayed in the will of God will be answered. How do we know that? 1 John 5:14. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now the word he hears us, you notice it's the same language that the angel Gabriel said to Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Why the word heard? Surely the Lord hears everything. Well, this is Hebraic understanding. The Hebrew word shamar means to hear. It also means to obey. When a translator sees shamar in the language, they have to decide, does it mean to obey or to hear? The idea being that if God hears you in the shamar sense, he's heard you, he's going to answer. You may have said to your child, did you hear me? Obviously, they didn't hear you or they would obey. Well, when you get a word from God, he says, your prayer has been heard, that's the best thing you could ever hear. It means I will obey your request. Well, the condition, according to 1 John, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So it's done. Problem, however, you may not know you have been heard. You've prayed it, but you feel nothing. Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for a son. They didn't know. What they didn't know, that in heaven the angel said, yes. 25 years later, Zechariah gets a word from Gabriel, says that prayer's been heard. Why did he not tell Zechariah that 25 years before? You tell me. But sometimes we pray for something and we feel nothing. And because we feel nothing, we think, well, I don't guess that was heard. And you may pray for it for a week, maybe 6 months. And maybe, for all I know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, a couple years. But when she never gets pregnant, they just say, well, I guess that's a prayer that we will not see answered. By the way, when John says 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to his will, you've been heard. There's another if. You see, the first if we ask anything according to his will, that's a big if. But then the verse 15 says, if we know that we've been heard, we have the answer. Now that's another big if. One if, that you prayed in the will of God. The second if, you know you've prayed in the will of God. Because there's a witness. As soon as you prayed, well, it's going to be heard. The trouble is that doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen to me every day. I have known times, not often, over the years, when I prayed, I knew I was heard. It's going to be answered. You may say, well, R.T., if you were a little more spiritual, you would know when God's heard you. Well, maybe you're right. But would you question the spirituality of the Apostle Paul? I would have thought Paul was a fairly spiritual man. He says in Romans 8:26, we don't know what to pray for. And all we do with groanings that cannot be uttered, the Holy Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. The trouble is, says Paul, we don't even know what the Holy Spirit is saying. You pray in the Spirit, and you know you're praying in the will of God, but you don't have a clue what you're saying. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, that's just what Paul said. Now, if we could eavesdrop and hear what the Spirit is saying, we'd think, well, that's good. It reminds me of when we used to live in Indiana, Salem, Indiana. Those were the days of party lines. Anybody old enough to remember the party line? Yeah. How old are you? Well, the woman doesn't need to answer. 74. Well, I guess that means I'm the oldest person here. I've been that way for years. Wherever I go, I used to be the youngest, now I'm the oldest. Well, we had a party line in Salem, Indiana. We lived out in the country. There were 11 people on our party line. And it was a miracle if you could get a dial tone. Well, one Saturday morning, I picked up the phone and heard people talking. And they were talking about me. And I quietly put the phone down. But suppose you could pick up a divine telephone and you hear, you eavesdrop, the Holy Spirit praying for you. And you think, well, that's interesting. Wow. So that is the will of God. And you would say, good, good, good. Trouble is, you don't hear it. Very rare you do, but usually you don't. And you see, when Zechariah and Elizabeth, they didn't have any witness that they'd been heard. And then one day, out of the blue, happens to coincide with a rather special occasion. Sometimes special occasions take place and nothing happens, like on Christmas or Easter or Pentecost Sunday. In England, they're more into the church calendar, and a lot of people pray on what they call Whit Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, that something will happen on that day. Usually doesn't. And usually, you know, nothing happens on Easter, Good Friday. We just worship. And so in the same way, when we pray for something, we don't feel a thing. And a special occasion is usually not marked by anything. But in this case, God decided to do something while Zechariah was actually burning incense in the temple. And it did coincide with an important moment. He wasn't prepared for it. And says, your prayer has been heard. Your wife will conceive. And it's because Zechariah foolishly argues back, said, there's some mistake. This can't be. The angel Gabriel says, oh dear, I'm sorry, Zechariah, but I've got an unpleasant duty to perform. Before I go back to heaven, you're going to be struck dumb and not able to speak because you don't believe a word I've said, which will be fulfilled. What's interesting, many think if you stop believing, then you won't get it. You got to keep believing for it to happen. Zechariah didn't believe at all. You see, any prayer prayed in the will of God, God doesn't forget, and it's going to be answered. I come now to principle number two. Number one, any prayer prayed in the will of God will be answered. Principle number two, the shape answered prayer takes is determined by our readiness at the time. Zechariah wasn't ready. His unbelief did not abort the answered prayer. And so, in a few weeks, surprise, surprise, Elizabeth is pregnant. And Zechariah is just not able to enjoy it. People come up to him, say, Zechariah, we hear Elizabeth's going to have a baby. We're so happy for you. This is wonderful. And Zechariah goes, He's not able to speak. It's a humiliation for him. It's a sad moment. If you had once said to Zechariah, can you imagine that if you ever have a son, that you would be unhappy about it, or it would not give you the greatest pleasure of your life? Oh, Zechariah would say, if I had a son, I would be the happiest man in the world. Well, now, here comes Elizabeth, going to have a baby. Poor Zechariah wasn't able to enjoy it. The opposite. It's humiliation. You see, the shape answered prayer takes is determined by our readiness at the time. What this tells us is that if you want to enjoy your prayer being answered, you better say what you mean what you say when you talk to the Most High God, because He listens and He doesn't forget. Why this little talk today? Well, I think that I've been led to bring a word to you. Maybe you have stopped praying for something. And what if it were to be answered and you're not ready? And the very thing you wanted so much is not going to be accompanied with the thrill that you thought, but be under a cloud. Because God wants you to keep praying for the same thing to show that you really mean it. And that's why I said, are you ready for answered prayer? Now, here's the thing. The thing you're asking for that God may answer doesn't always have to be something spiritual or godly. What would be spiritual? Well, praying for a closer walk with God. Or you're praying for revival, praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Those would be spiritual requests. But what if it's not so spiritual, but you ask for it? Well, that's why I read to you the parable of the importunate widow. Here's a lady. This is a Jesus parable. He talks about this widow. What was her request to the judge? It wasn't spiritual at all. Avenge me of my adversary. You could make a case that that's selfish. So there's nothing godly about it. She said, I want vengeance, and you, judge, can do it. And he doesn't care about her, but she wears him out. Says, look, I've had no more. Granted. And she gets it, because she just didn't give up. And there's a little interesting thing about this parable. Right at the end of it, you could call it a P.S. I wonder if you've noticed it. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, that has always, I think, been applied by scholars to refer to the second coming. Granted. My question is, why would that verse be right here? What's the point? The point is that when God steps in and answers your prayer, will you still be believing? And I wonder how many of you, as you look back, you used to ask for this, you used to ask for that, and you gave up long ago. You thought, well, that's one prayer request that won't be answered, so you tear it up and forget about it. And what if God showed up and said, your prayer's been answered? Well, that's the point here. Well, the question is, why doesn't God tell you in advance that he's going to answer your prayer? It'd be nice, wouldn't it? And you think, oh, good, I'm going to get healed. Oh, good, a loved one will be saved. Oh, good, I'm going to get that raise in pay. Oh, guess what? I'm going to get a better job. And you knew it. But what if you don't know it because God doesn't tell you? So why doesn't he tell you? Why didn't he tell Zechariah and Elizabeth? And why doesn't he tell us when we ask for something that we've got it? I think I know. You ready for this? He likes your company. And if he answered you immediately, you'd say, well, thanks a lot, God. Goodbye. You got what you wanted, and you don't have that much time for God until you have another need and you come calling back. You see, God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And so to keep us talking to him, he doesn't tell us, because that's the one thing that may bring you back to pray more, because you keep asking. A friend of mine in Britain, Jay John. Do you know the name Jay John? You know, that could be that third person we're talking about. Maybe, speculation. Talk about it later if we get a chance. Jay John, he is an evangelist in Britain. They call him the Billy Graham of England. He's England's number one evangelist. In fact, I don't know if there is a number two, number three. Jay John is, very popular. And he and I, close friends, and when I was at Westminster, he would come to see me in the vestry once every 3 months and just chat and visit. And one day he comes in, he said, R.T., I've got something to tell you. I can't wait to tell you. What is it? He said, well, I've just got back from India. And nobody's going to believe what I'm going to tell you, because he thought maybe I would believe him. He said, I saw people healed. I saw miracles before my eyes. Well, I said, tell me more. Well, he said, when the person who organized this meeting said, now look, while you're preaching, when the miracles start happening, we know what to do. Jay John said, what do you mean we know what to do? Oh, well, there'll be people healed. This is what will happen. Well, Jay John says, I don't do that. I'm just an evangelist. We know that. We just want you to know, as you preach, we know what to do. So Jay Jones said, I preach. He's an RT. before my eyes, I saw arms outstretched. I saw blind people healed while I'm preaching. There's a certain area of India where evidently God was doing that, and everybody knew it was going to happen. And J. John said, I saw it. Nobody here in UK will believe me. And then he added, he said, while I was there, I kept hearing about a Sister Teresa, not Mother Teresa, Sister Teresa, who had unusual words of knowledge. And J. John said, well, I'd kind of like to meet her. Any chance I could meet her? Kind of like I remember when I went to Scotland. Been thinking about Scotland because John Thomas and I've been talking about John Paul Jackson and I were in Scotland. They called it Clan Gathering, and a couple thousand people would meet there. And I kept hearing about a Terry Ackroll. Do you know that name? Oil came into his hands, and you could smell it 10 yards away. And I said, well, could I meet him? Well, maybe you can meet him. And I did meet him the next day. Well, it was equivalent. Jay Johnson says, could I meet Sister Teresa? Well, we'll see what we can do. Well, he forgot about it. And then a day or two later, they brought this little lady up and said, Jay Johnson, this is Sister Teresa. He said, well, I've heard about you, that you have unusual words of knowledge. And if you were to share something with me, I'd be grateful. He said, she turned around and walked away. I thought I had offended her. But 45 minutes later, she came back with a list, 13 things. He said, she began to tell me things that nobody knew but me. I mean, even talking about the condition of my scalp. And, you know, just one thing after another. It was all true. And then she came to number 13. God likes your company. He wants 2 hours of your time every day. Goodbye. And he never saw her again. And J. John said to me, R.T., I'm going to do it. That seems like a lot of time for most of us. 2 hours a day. Martin Luther prayed 2 hours a day. John Wesley prayed 2 hours a day. Do you want to know what the average church leader in America prays? We know. A poll taken, answered anonymously by thousands of ministers. Do you know how much time the average pastor, evangelist, church leader, bishop, rector, every denomination, the average? 4 minutes a day. 4 minutes a day. And you wonder why the church is powerless. So this sweet lady said to J. John, God likes your company. And he started doing it. Do you know what? Since then, he's preached, this won't mean a lot to some of you, but it's a big thing in England. He's preached in every cathedral. He's preached to the royal family. He preached in Bristol Cathedral. Revival broke out, made the front page of the London Times. Goes back. God likes your company. My point being, this is my theory. Why God doesn't tell you that you've been heard? Because if you knew the impetus to keep praying, you'd lose it. You see what I mean? God likes your company so that you'll keep coming back to him. Keep coming back to him. And I'm saying this because I think God is saying a word to somebody here. Go back to the old prayer list. Who knows? Maybe I've caught you in the nick of time. And wouldn't it be wonderful so that you're not met with being struck dumb or the equivalent. Oh, here's a story for you. You like my stories? Catherine likes my stories. She tunes out when I'm preaching. Otherwise, when I tell the story, she tunes in. Teasing you. Teasing you. She's pretty. How did you get her? I'm from Ashland, Kentucky. Are you Texans? Listen. Don't feel inferior to me because I'm here. You can't help it that you weren't born in Kentucky. And I'm going to assure you, I don't think I'm better than you. I probably am, but I don't think it. I'm from Ashland, Kentucky. I don't get back there often, but when I do, while I'm there, I always take Louise to South Ashland and say, that's the building. What are we talking about? Well, many years ago, when I was just a child, a couple felt led to start a church in South Ashland. And they were criticized. People said, we don't need another church in South Ashland. We've got enough. What we have is good. They felt led, got another couple to join them. They eventually rented a garage and put chairs out to have services. When the numbers were up to 13, people were laughing. They said, hey, did you hear about the group in South Ashland? They had 13. But, you know, they prayed. They prayed that one day God would give them a building. God answered their prayer. Several years later, the most lovely edifice in South Ashland was erected. It seats 300 or 400 people. On the day of the dedication, they brought in the general superintendent of their denomination. Place was packed. Cars parked. You had to walk 2 blocks if you didn't get there early. Place was packed. But the man whose vision it was to have the church had in the meantime fallen into sin and bitterness and wasn't even welcome at the church on the day of the dedication. People said they saw him just drive by. He saw the crowds, kept on going. His prayer was answered. But the shape it took, he was not able to enjoy it. And you may think, well, if I got what I wanted, I'll be happy. Caution, this is my word. Any prayer prayed in the will of God will be answered, but the shape it takes is determined by our readiness at the time. Are you ready for answered prayer? And as I said, don't think it's got to be something spiritual necessarily, just because of the example Jesus used. Just don't give up. How much more will your heavenly Father come in at once and answer you? But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? You need to go back to that prayer list. If God has sent me here to catch you, think, oh, yes, maybe I can go back to it. Start praying now. And then when he steps in, and by the way, until he says no, I mean, when it's undoubted no, well, then you don't pray. But until you get a no, the answer may be yes. I was preaching at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. And I think about 1,500 people were there. It wasn't because I was there. Nobody knew I was going to preach. And I'm preaching at the Garden Tomb. And a couple comes up to me after the service out of 1,500 people and said, hi, Dr. Kendall, do you recognize us? I love it when people do that. Well, maybe you recognize your face trying to say something. He said, well, look, you came to Edinburgh, Scotland and preached a sermon. Are you ready for answered prayer? I said, yeah, I do remember that. Well, we thought you'd like to know that when we heard that sermon, we got home, we realized that we had stopped praying that we could go to the Holy Land. So that night we just started praying. And we just kept it up. Here we are. God answered our prayer. And fancy meeting you here. Just a nice touch of God. I preached this sermon in Isla Mirada, Florida. A couple there praying for a baby. And Stan Kilbaba, do you remember him? When I finished that sermon, he looked at his wife. He said to her, "I bet you're pregnant." She said, "I bet I'm not." She said, "I bet you are." Well, she was. They had a little boy. They named him Zachariah and called him Zach. Any prayer prayed to the will of God will be answered, 1 John 5:14. But the shape it takes is determined by our readiness at the time. Whatever it was, spiritual requests, whatever, God likes your company. How much do you pray? And I think this is what God sent me here to share with you. Heavenly Father, take this word and apply this word by your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making Him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.